الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Of the people who have passed in the past, we have got great lessons to learn, and we should take our lessons. We explained about Sheikh Andalusi Rahmatullah Ali, just when the thought came that these Christian people, they worship idols, etc., we are better than them, and what a trial and ordeal he had to go through. So we should take lesson from there. Similarly comes, which also we have to take a lesson, of the instance of Barsisa. That was a very, very pious person in the time of the Bani Israel. Genuinely very pious, known, accepted and acknowledged by all, that there wasn't anyone as pious as he was. Muttaqi, Allah-fearing, ibadat of Allah Ta'ala, everything. And from the whole instance, we should take lessons also. And we should take the remedies which are also mentioned, not just to know the story, but to take our lessons. What were the food for thought, and not only food for thought, but for action, that we put it into action. That is what is required. So he was an extremely pious person, righteous person. At that time, three brothers had to go for jihad, and they had their young sister, and they wondered, where can we live? They didn't have anyone where they could leave her. And they had to go for jihad at that time. So they made mashura, and then it came up, Barsisa is here. What a pious person, there is no question about it. We will leave, we ask him that he must look after her. And in the whole process, we should see how shaitan works also. Talbis, the iblis, shaitan, how he works, and any person who thinks that I am safe from shaitan, he will get trapped by shaitan. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali narrates an incident of one Mauli Sahib, very pious also, very righteous, muttaqi also. And he said to shaitan that you will never ever be able to deter me, let me go off track. I will always save myself. So shaitan said, the day will come when we will sort that out. So where he was teaching and where he lived, he had to cross a shallow stream, just till the ankle the waters come, and he had to cross over. So one day when he went there, and as normal he was going to cross, Pasir saw a very old lady, and she asked that I have to cross over, and I can't walk over, I'm so old also. And like, for example, she had fever, etc., the water will harm her. So he said, no problem. How shaitan puts it in the mind to help out somebody is so good. Like, for example, we are driving, we see a young woman walking on the street, and a known lady of the locality or somebody, we said, if I don't give her a lift, we don't know, there are so many wolves out there, and somebody will take her. But you don't realize you've got the biggest wolf in you, and that you want to offer her a lift is not of your good intention. It looks good. You want to do good, but how shaitan gets hold of you. And then you give her a lift, and from there, a lot of other things happen also. So like that, he said, no problem. You climb on my back. I will carry you across and to help out old people or old lady. Helped us, and she was desperate to get to the other side. So he put her on her back, and her thighs were in front, and he was holding her thighs. Now her thighs, also an old lady, just some matchsticks, but he was getting enjoyment holding those matchsticks also. And he's pressing them also. And as he's going, she is becoming heavier and heavier. And the water is rising up all the time. When he came to the middle, now for him to cross also was difficult. Then shaitan said, you said I'll never get hold of you. And it's what has happened today. So shaitan came in the form of that old lady. So the practical protection is the hudud of Shariat. What Sharia has said, for example, parda. Don't make your own excuses that we can now break the law of parda. Today, unfortunately, parda for many good people doesn't exist. It is just by way of name that we have some, many of us that have like parda. The lady signed parda, but there is no real parda. A woman, how many women, like we just returned from Mombasa and many other places, Arab countries, India, Pakistan also, the Muslim dress is a burqa. A woman's dress is that. But it's not with the orientation of parda. It is just the dress of a Muslim. And consequently, you'll find a Muslim has got her, what she say, parda, her burqa. But she's talking with men freely. She's walking around. Once we were returning from one trip of us of one country, and the people we were staying with, the house lady, she was also at the airport. There were many other people. And also with her burqa, but walking freely amongst the men, talking with the men. So that is according to her, because I got my burqa on, so I'm in parda. Parda is not wearing a burqa only. Parda is much more, to avoid anywhere. On one occasion, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam asked the Sahaba, what is the best thing for a lady? So they didn't know. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu went home and asked Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said the best thing for a lady is that she must not see any man and no man must see her. So Hazrat Ali came back and he reported to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was that occasion that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Fatima bid'um minni. Fatima is part of me. She's part of my heart. That is that understanding, deep understanding of deen. So that is the parda, that no man must see a woman and no woman must see the man. One time, Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was with his two wives at home. And Abdullah ibn Maktoum radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a great righteous pious sahabi who was blind, came. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately told his two wives, make parda, ihtijiba, make parda. They say, isn't he blind? They said, are you blind? That he can't see you, but you're not allowed to see him also. Even if he's blind, even if a person is not good looking, we say now, what fitna is in there? But the laws of Sharia, and so the laws of Sharia, and to, with regard to which Allah Ta'ala says, Tilka hududullah. Those are the limits and the boundaries which Allah has said. Then Allah said, Fala taqarabuha. Don't even go near the boundaries. Stay far away from the boundaries. A person who is at the boundary will easily go across the boundary at any time. If he's just a little bit unmindful, he'll step over the boundary. A person who's far from the boundary, right in the middle, that person, he won't go off. So therefore, so it is the laws of Sharia which Allah has sent, and the other very good criteria, measurement that we have, protection that we have, to follow sunnat in all matters. Sunnat is our protection. As much as we will, as much a person, for example, one great sunnat is simplicity. If a person practices on that, then the greed of money won't come. They must earn more to live an extravagant life, to live a luxurious life. That won't come in him. And together with that luxurious, extravagant way of life, so many other wrong things come in there. Just by having simplicity in a person, he will be saved of all those things. For example, it comes in the hadith that the person who makes salam first is the one who gets greater reward. And that first salam breaks the pride in a person. That a person doesn't think that I'm a big person, people must make me salam. He makes salam. And a person who has got rid of pride, he has got rid of how many things? And the illegitimate child, of pride, anger. So if you haven't got pride, you won't have that wrong anger also in you. And how many disasters have happened in the world, in the home, in the business place, because of anger. What and what chaos has come in the world just because, and that anger just comes from nowhere. In a split second it comes. and is gone again into nowhere, not even thin air, and the damage that it has caused in between. And it comes from pride. So if you just got rid of the... So sunnah, if a person sticks to sunnah, he will be protected of all the harms. So anyway, so they decided, they came to Barsisa, so he refused also his piety and his taqwa. And also we should remember, for example, shaitan, when he will come, he goes to everyone in a different way. For example, an alim who's in deen, engaged in the work of deen, teaching, etc., he won't come to that alim and give him the temptation of going to a disco, of going to a gambling place, or anything like that. But he let him carry on. He will just bring pride in that alim. Just that name and fame, that people must acknowledge me, people must praise me. Now he can carry on with all his work of deen. But that factor that has come in now of doing it for name and fame, all his effort will have no effect also on the people. There will be no reward, in fact, punishment for him. So shaitan, he is so cunning and so sly that it's really difficult. The only way we can get safe from shaitan, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Ask Allah's protection. You yourself can never protect yourself. If you think I can, you are delicious bait for shaitan. Shaitan knows how to just swallow you easily. You will never stand a chance. If you got Allah's protection, that is the only way you can get protected. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, Jazamullah, gives us beautiful example. You're going to meet some very prominent big person in government, etc., high position he's got, so he's got a lot of security also. When you go there, now the security he's got, there's very vicious dogs he's got there. And you think that I will be able to pass these dogs and I can go to the house. If you try to go, they will tear you apart, those dogs. So the easy way to get is to get the attention of that person. In the days of past, you threw a little pebble at his door, you can't go through. Now you may give him a phone call that I'm here, I would like to come and meet you. When he comes out, now you can walk past the dogs. They won't even harm you at all. And if you make just a little sign to them with his eyes also, they will all sit down or they walk away from there. There's no harm. But if you want to go yourself and think, I will protect myself, they will tear you to pieces. Just like that, we just have to get the help of Allah. Shaitan, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, is like the dog of Allah Ta'ala. Allah doesn't need security in that sense. Allah gives security. But in order to reach Allah, Allah has kept Shaitan as a test. His temptations that he puts to us. Will you be able to pass them and come to me? And you can't pass them on your own. You seek my protection. So even when we read, see the gracious Quran Sharif, when we read Kitab of Hidayah through and through. But the first thing we have to read is A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim. Even in my reading of the Quran Sharif, oh Allah, I seek your protection. Otherwise, the very same Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. That you read it, and many people get misguided by the Quran. And many people get hidayat from the Quran. So if you didn't take Allah's protection, and you are reading, the Quran Sharif can be the cause of your misguidance. وَغَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Allah says, we made him go astray. What is knowledge that he has? What is knowledge? We use this knowledge to make him go astray. And how many ulama go astray with their knowledge? Because of their knowledge, not that they got involved with women, not that they got involved in liquor, but their knowledge made them go astray. This pride of knowledge, and one thing that comes with all knowledge, and even deeni knowledge, is pride that comes with it. And therefore, our elders Buzurg say, whoever has become an alim, absolutely necessary that he must go in the company of the Mashayikh to remove that pride from him. Otherwise, with that pride, he will make khidmat of deen now for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years after graduating. But if he does it with pride, it's not going to take him to Jannat, it will take him to Jahannam. So to remove all that is absolutely essential. So shaitan works, he is very cunning, very sly. And here also we must be careful not to use the word that is very clever or intelligent. It is not intelligence, it is slyness, it is shrewdness, it is being cunning. Those are the words that the use of the brains in the wrong way is not intelligence. It's not a person is smart and is bright. He is really dumb and stupid. He is cunning and is sly. So he refused also. So even more they were convinced that he is the right person. Finally, when he agreed, see how shaitan also works gradually. He doesn't work at one instant. He said that, give her a room or place to stay away from my place, not in the same place. Away from me. So she stayed there, and he should take her food, send her food with somebody every day. Then shaitan put, she's a young girl, and you're an old man, and she's like lonely now, no family she's got. If you take the food yourself, at least she'll feel more like want to respect her, that she's not being treated like a piece of dirt, just a food he sent with someone. So he started taking it himself. Then shaitan said, and he left it at the door. Then shaitan said that if you just like speak to her, tell her your food is here. Everything very gradually. So then he started that. Then he told her, open the door and I'll just leave the food here. And this wasn't every day it was happening. After a period of time, shaitan works in a very shrewd way. Then he started going in and giving her nasihat of deen. This is also a very cunning ploy of shaitan. That, for example, ladies, they want to, for example, phone the sheikh and speak to him. Even with the sheikh, the limits of shariat are not only for other people, and the sheikh is absolved of them. For him also those limits are there. And in the voice of, just imagine, the Quran Sharif about parda for ladies that explain that when they wear their jewelry on the legs also, and their jewelry makes sounds also, those women who wear it, that they, when they walk, they must be careful that the sound of the jewelry, other men mustn't hear. Now when the sound of the jewelry they mustn't hear, then her voice, how much more is that not in parda? But unfortunately today, our good women also, they speak freely. For example, with the workers in the house. That is another area where with the maids that are working, helpers in the house. How many cases where the housewife says that everything is happening, only now nikah must take place. Already what has to happen by nikah, everything is happening already. Or she is not a Muslim. She just have to accept Islam and they just have to make nikah. Otherwise, everything is happening already. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali told one alim, he also has passed away, Allah give all Jannah, that when we went and visit him, then his wife was not at home. So Hazrat said, but the day your wife is not at home, she's gone to visit her mother, she's gone to visit other family people, whatever, tell the domestic servant not to come on that day. But he say, I sit outside. Hazrat said, even if you sit outside, shaitan will remind you, you forgot this of yours. Go in the house. And that little bit, everything happens from there then. That little bit of behtiyati. And without you realizing, and you're a righteous person, you're a pious person, never trust yourself. The minute a person trusts himself, this is also where many people, that my ibadat, I will never miss my ibadat. That guna or gunas, I will never commit. That is where a person slips. And he goes completely. The more we are muhtaj of Allah, dependent on Allah, Allah looks after that person. And we know also that parents, if we are going somewhere, there's a family, and there's a handicapped child. The other children, mother tells them, you do this, wear your clothes, get ready. But the handicapped child, she will give more attention. So if we become like handicapped in the hands of Allah, that, Ya Allah, I can't protect myself, I can't look after myself, then Allah looks after you. But if you think, I can help myself, I can look after myself. So the more a person keeps this fear in him, and he wants to save himself, Allah's protection is more on that person. And a person who feels that, no, I can do my own things, I can protect myself, that person is in very great danger. In fact, as soon as he thinks like that, he has already fallen in guna. Like when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had to go to Rome and that site, Constantinople, where it was known the women are very light in complexion, white, and very beautiful also. So some said that we don't want to go, we will fall in fitna there. Allah Ta'ala says, you are not going, Allah saqatu fil fitna. They have already fallen in fitna. By not doing what Allah has told them to do, they already, that fitna will happen, not happen. But they have already fallen into fitna. So how shaitan works, it's not easy for us to even understand and comprehend. For us, the practical thing, keep the limits of Sharia, fiqh. And many people, they make a joke out of fiqh. And they say he's being too pious. He's making double parda. He's taking too much precaution. He's overdoing things. But that is where we will protect ourselves. And the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then, finally, he started giving us some nasihat also. And then whatever had to happen, happened also. A child was born also. Now just see where he was. And she also, innocent, pious young girl. Now a child was born. Now what shaitan did, that the child is born. Now when the brothers will come back and they will see, then he'll be in very big problem. And what a disgrace for such a great buzurg that this has had to happen with regard to him. So the only solution, shaitan said, to kill the child. Mm-hmm. And the mother, that who laid young girl, she also agreed. The best is to get rid of the child. No evidence left then. So they become accomplices of one another. Kill the child also. Buried the child. Now all the evidence is gone. Then shaitan, and this is how shaitan worked. He put another fear. It's possible she will speak. And she will give away the secret. So the only solution is to kill her also. So that there is no evidence left. Now what a pious person. His ibadat whole day and night in ibadat. Not the thought of guna also. But now where shaitan brought him, having an illegitimate child also. And before that, all the haram connection he had with her. And then the child. And then the murdering of an innocent little child. And now to kill the mother also. Another murder again. So he killed her also. And he buried her also. Eventually they came back now. And they asked. So he said that she got ill. She passed away. She died. And this is her qabr. Now how shaitan worked. Just like, for example, see what Yusuf a.s. in Zulekha. Zulekha, she tempted Yusuf a.s. And she tore his kurta from the back, running after him to try and pull him back again. But just at the door, Aziz, the minister, was there. So she turned the whole story immediately that he was trying to interfere with me. So that is how shaitan works now. Turns the whole table around. But he was a Nabi of Allah, Allah's protection. Then Allah made it a little child who doesn't speak at that age. Sir. He spoke out. He said, look at the kurta. If it's torn from the front, he's guilty. Because he wanted to go and she wanted to protect herself. And then she's speaking the truth and he is lying. And if his kurta is torn from the back, then you understand he was running away. And she was trying to grab him. So then she is lying and he is. When they saw exactly how the little child who doesn't speak at that age, he solved the problem. So then the whole procedure that yes, you were guilty. Yusuf. And then finally she still insisted he must be put into jail. And all that they decided, put him into jail also. So shaitan works in such subtle ways. We must never think that we are safe from him. Then Shaitan came now in the dream of all three brothers the same night and told them all that this is not the story what he's telling. The story is something else. And also he pointed out where the grave of them are. And you can go and see that child's grave also is there. From where does the child come in the picture? She might have got ill and she died and he buried her. But what's the story of the child? So when the morning, one of them also told, these are just shaitani azghatu ahlam. It's just like nightmares, something like that. Others said, no. Then they said, okay, just let's check up. And Abba, they found it. Now when they found it, now he was guilty. Now he was, now what disgrace and humiliation. And not only for the buzurg, but for deen also. All the people who are dindar, they also don't know where to hide their faces now. And all those who followed that sheikh, they also don't know where must we go and hide our face now. Who we should regard, and big titles we were giving and everything. And today this has happened. What must we do? Where must we hide our faces? How lot of harm by just little bit not observing the laws of parda and sharia. And slipping just a little bit. And with good intentions a person slips also. And he wants to do good. Then ruling was given. He has to be executed. He must be put on the gallows. See when now Shaitan comes. And he will come on Qiyamah's day the same way also. And he told, if you believe in me, and then I will help you. I'll save you from here. And at that time, now where he took him from his great ibadat to all the gunas that he committed, to murder which he committed. And now Shaitan told, you believe in me and don't believe in Allah, I will protect you. And for his life's sake. And this is another thing which we are all guilty of. We haven't made effort to take out the love of our life. We have to replace that with life of martyrdom, of shahadat. We must be keen. Today we don't want to die. We see for ourselves, a person got cancer, Allah save us all, heart problem, huge amounts of money we will spend to get saved from that. We will miss our namazes in the procedure. We will do many other things. But to die we don't want, and this is a quality of the Jews that they don't want to die. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif that they will never ever desire death. If they claim they love Allah, if you love Allah, then you should love death, because death is the vehicle to take you to Allah. But they don't want to die. In fact, it is that presently, and for many years, long time now, the Jews especially are known, if they have got an illness which is going to lead to death, they ask to be frozen up. That when medical science will have the remedy for it, then they must defreeze them, give them that remedy, they can come back to life. They kill themselves before mortals who kill themselves. This is they just don't want to die. Quran emphatically says they don't want, but a mu'min, so now he didn't take out that also, the love of life. And he didn't replace it with the love of akhirat, the love of Allah, the love of martyrdom. And without the love of martyrdom, of becoming a shaheed, Islam can't flourish also. Islam, the water that makes Islam grow and flourish is the love of mort, the love of martyrdom, shahadat, then Islam flourishes. But today we are all so guilty, we don't want to die. So then he accepted. And as soon as he accepted, Shaitan ran away. And that is, Shaitan came to the kuffar in the battlefield. I will help you. I've come with my army also. Huge armies have come. But the minute he saw the Muslim army and Allah sending down the malaika, he ran away from there. And he said, now I can't help you. And on the day of Qiyamah also, that walamma qudiya al-amru. وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَعَدَكُمْ وَوَعَدْتُكُمْ فَأَخْلَفْتُكُمْ. Allah made promises to you. I broke my promises. Allah's promises were true. But yes, Shaitan makes us that listen to him, his promises. So there he lost his iman also. So a person who was so righteous and pious, upright, and yeah, he left the world without iman also. And what is the condition in the qabr without iman? on the day of Qiyamah, Hisab Kitab, crossing Pul Sirat, what we've got a long journey to go. What will be the condition? So the solution of it is Tilka Hududullah. In all matters, the laws of Parda, we say now don't be so strict now. Today is Eid's day, it's all right. Tonight's Qurbani time, we all, the whole family, we sit together, we make Qurbani together. And wedding time, now you want to make Parda, you're spoiling the whole and the fun of the wedding. A man must be one side, no woman there. When man woman are together, they're making jokes, they're laughing. Everyone likes that. You're not allowing the TV, and we're watching TV, and the whole family comes together, the neighbors, extended family, all watching together, and you prepare some snacks also, and all eating and laughing and joking. It looks bad, but that is the bait of shaitan. Every bait, when you want to catch the fish, you want to catch a karpa, you use that type of bait. All the different. So when shaitan wants to trap us, he also uses that. And then we fall for that bait. And then the worst things happen, which you cannot imagine. And if you just have to sit back and think, I can never, that I will do this, or I could have, or did I do it? I didn't do all this, a dream. It's a nightmare I'm going through. So we have to. So tilka hududullah, keep always. Parda, properly keep it in mind. Don't break the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Sunnat, keep it for your own protection and your own safety. And your own safe passage to Allah Ta'ala and through life and to akhirat and your izzat, your honor. Allah give us all tawfiq. Save us. Nobody can save himself. Allah protect us all, inshallah.